Be reading two passages from Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Romans 1:16-17. I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes, first the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith.
Thank you, Andy, for reading those passages. And we're walking through this book. Well, the goal here is twofold. Of course, we want to get the great messages out of there. But we're studying the Apostle Paul, but we traveled with him as a missionary. We saw all his actions, and they were awesome. And he's a man of faith. And now we're going to study him a little bit as a theologian, because this letter that he writes to the church at Rome, he doesn't spare anything in this correspondence. I mean, there are so many amazing biblical themes. All of them go untouched. They're there. And so I've entitled this sermon series A View from the Top, because Paul has this way of bringing all of these amazing themes together in this letter to this metropolitan church. It's like we're climbing with him. And as we climb, we're reminded of the various challenging terrains that we are walking through. And then we get to the top, and this letter unfolds. And before you know it, we're at the top and we're seeing how everything just fits together so well. And so what we've done so far is we've looked at Paul's view of his audience. What did he think about those Christians in Rome? And what we found was he had such an incredible affection for them. Mind you, he thought of them this way, even though they weren't all on the same page with him doctrinally. Okay. And then we looked at how Paul viewed himself. And what we found in this brilliant man, one who had accomplished all these great things, not only in his field, but also within his community, we found this humble guy, this guy who would go to the status of the way he described it as doulos in the Greek, which is best translated. We have servant, we see bond servant, but I think better yet, slave. So his whole life was in this service to his master, Jesus, who called him to this job. And this job would be to be an apostle, one who would share the good news of his master, the risen Messiah, and what it meant, what it actually meant for his tribe, you know, and what it meant for the Gentiles. So Paul found no greater self-identity, no greater ego, no greater self-worth than in that calling, that description. Doulos, humbling himself to the status of even a slave. He belonged to Jesus Christ, and he was okay with that for sure. Now, what I thought I'd do today is look at how Paul just viewed the message that he was giving. And I think we can see his attitude about this when he says, I'm so eager to preach. And for us to say that Paul has, I guess, an appreciation for the message, what really is an understatement. The message he was sharing wasn't simply a story to Paul. It wasn't simply about a hero and his conquering, because this message was real to him. Like, he was in the story. So he's in the story. And so the hero was real, because he saved Paul actually himself. And this is why Paul is going to use the word gospel. So you see it up here on the screen, and it's the word euangelion, which is a word that would bring excitement. It would bring a thrill to those who heard its cry, meaning it has this tremendous positive implication for all of those who hear it, right? That it's life-changing to them, right? It's the word that is used for when a war has come to an end and the messenger has returned with the news of the outcome and everyone's waiting. And the ones who are waiting are wondering, wait a second, are we going to lose our homes and become slaves to our enemy? Or are we going to have our lives and our freedom and victory? And it is gospel when victory is declared. This is also the word that was chosen when the Old Testament was translated into the Greek to really describe the announcement of the end of the Babylonian captivity, which to Israel, this was a mess. This was so, you talk about good news that the former captives were now free to return to the beloved homeland from which they had been exiled for many, many bitter, bitter years. This message, this gospel, this was part of Paul. The victory feeling, the release from exile, all of this was real to him. He lived through it and saw how what he called the gospel of God can come true in an individual. And this stirred in him this great eagerness to share it. Paul's view of this message, we're going to say today, is exhilarating. Wherever he went, Paul saw himself as the messenger of the kind of news that people needed to hear, that if they were ever going to become free to be the people that God intended them to be, wouldn't you just love to be the person who would go into the city of Kiev, right? And you're carrying this news that the war has ended and that there has been victory over Russia. I mean, how passionate would you be with that news? How much time would you dedicate to sharing that message? And if you met somebody on the street, would you tell them that story, right? Would you tell them that news? For Paul, you see, I think it's the same, except for Paul, it's almost like he grew up in the Ukraine with his message, right? Because that message also directly was relevant to him. It related to him specifically. So at this point, I need to remind all of us in this room that there is this correlation to the passion of one telling a story and the person's role in the message. I mean, if it is a great message that others are going to be blessed with, then there is a great joy in sharing that message. Yes, but exhilaration. Exhilaration comes when the herald has also received the blessings of the good news that he or she is speaking of. Christianity has grown because of this. This is why that it grew like wildfire. Its followers personally felt the blessings of the message that they were sharing. Each of them had a story of how they had found victory in Jesus Christ. That's a great place to start, by the way. And when you want to share the gospel, just tell them that, how you found victory in Jesus Christ. So I think it's safe to say that Paul's view of this message he was sharing was really over the top. We're going to say exhilarating. And one of the reasons for this is because of its power. And he writes in verse 16, it is the power of God for salvation. I said last week, you know, that Paul was doomed. And, you know, when he met Jesus on that road and he realized that he had been persecuting the Lord himself, and not only that, but all those people who loved that Lord, you know, he felt the same way. You know, he felt doomed. And personally, I think that's why he was in that room for 3 days and he never ate and he never drank. He's grieving over his sins. He had already lost his sight. He's waiting for finally, you know, the coin to fall, as they say. You know, he's just waiting to get the rest of what he deserved. But then Ananias showed up. And Ananias had some news. Paul felt the power of the gospel of God when he said, Jesus has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ananias brought this incredible news from Jesus himself. Grace and peace flooded his soul when he received the sight and the Spirit was given to him. He felt power when he was allowed to be baptized into Jesus Christ, you know, so that he could wash away his sins. Those were his words, you know. And Paul got to taste that power in the goodness of God. That is in the grace that he has for all of those people who believe in Jesus Christ. Paul went from tears to triumph. He went from doomed to delight, all because of the gospel of grace that Ananias delivered to him from the Savior of the world. Yes, Paul was exhilarated at this message because of its power. Paul uses this word three times in the very first part of this letter. All three times are in association with God's grace and God's love. Paul says that we can see this power when God raised Jesus Christ from the grave. The resurrection is definitely a display of this power. Paul felt that resurrection power when given the opportunity to move from that demise to delight. Friends, you and I have also participated in that life-changing power if we have given ourselves to Jesus. We too have moved from death to life. Now meditate on that. Meditate on that and never lose that exhilaration that you will feel when you meditate on it. Paul also uses that word power in association with creating such good all around us, all around his creation. He creates all this good. It's clearly visible to everyone, and it is culminated in the beauty of his son, right? This is what Paul really wanted to share. The power of God is his beauty has been offered to all of us. The greatest of beauties, of course, his son. And so it's not just that Paul was saved, right, from this eternal punishment that he deserved. No, he's writing to these Christians in Rome. He's telling them that in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. He's telling them that the gospel's power is that the righteousness revealed through the Savior is passed on to all people who live by faith. So you can see, I mean, we can all see why he's so exhilarated by this message that he gets to share. I mean, it is power, right? Its power is almost beyond comprehension, but it's also because of this over the top message. He's over the top to him because it's truth. It's truth. Paul realized that this story of Jesus is a story that started long ago. And that's why he writes the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Yes, Paul's exhilaration for this message also comes from the fact that this message, right, the message he and his tribe have been telling from the beginning. It's the same thing. This is what they've been talking about. The Messiah is coming and so on. And that's why Paul has this tenacity. Right? When he's facing his opponents, his fellow Jews were very critical of his message. I mean, they thought that he was manufacturing some gospel himself, right? So he went to great pains to show them that this message was not his own message. Rather, it was the same message of old, right? And because at one time he really thought like them, he thought like these opponents, that's why he had this fervor. This fervor, he wanted to clear up their confusion for sure. Paul was like his new master when he was with those two men on the road to Emmaus. If you remember that passage, it says, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And because Paul would show his critics how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament prophets, what all they predicted, he would eventually establish some credibility, and the message that he was sharing would also. Nothing delighted Paul more than to take the Holy Scripture and show that God's dealings, that God's promises were, as he wrote in this beginning of this letter regarding his son, all the dealings of God, all the promises were regarding his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And this is the gospel of God. Paul longed to announce, as he said to the church in Corinth, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And when we read the Old Testament, we only find so much of the Messiah there. Who would Jesus's mother be? A virgin. Of what house would he be? David. Where would he be born? Bethlehem. What would his name be that would be given him? Emmanuel, which we sang about. Thank you for that. And what death would be his? The cross. This piercing of the body on the tree without the breaking of the bones. Where? At Jerusalem, outside the city. Paul's task was rooted as far back also as the Garden of Eden, the patriarchs and the prophets. His point of emphasis is never going to change, right? Through these festivals that they always talked about, innumerable sacrifices, the giving of the law, the deliverance from Egypt, right? Paul would elaborate on how God's gospel is spoken persistently through type, through symbol, through figure, of the blessings made available through the one who was coming. And how excited would the man on fire be as he's speaking about the one he met? And that one actually is the one whose offering all these blessings to everyone. And that's why Paul, part of Paul's exhilaration for the message is because of its truth. Truth. But I want to point out one more reason for Paul's exhilaration for this message. Yeah, it is power. Yeah, it is truth. But it is also because, man, it is so relevant. It is so relevant. You can see this in verse 11. Andy didn't read that verse. I didn't put it up there for us to read. But in verse 11, he says that his desire is to make them strong. And what he's saying is that this gospel really is the answer to our problems. All problems. It provides the strength that we need when we feel weak, right? Eventually, we'll get down to the last half of the chapter where, you know, there is this description of these folks in Rome and the activities that they were a part of before they were living under the power of the gospel through faith. Basically, Paul refers to them in that condition as fools. When you read of how they lived, worshiping some piece of wood or some stone carved into an idol, or how depraved they were in their relationships, living so indecently while also being filled with this evil, right? He's reminding them of the stark contrast of where they were and how where they are now. And of course, he's speaking also of people who chose to stick with that foolish lifestyle, rejecting the gospel. Paul is showing them that the gospel has relevance in who we become. Right? It's the fulfillment of power, as I talked about when I was talking about the resurrection. Those who hear the gospel and believed are said to live by faith. Well, that living looks so different than what was going on there in the Roman culture. I remember in a Peanuts cartoon one time, Linus had just thrown the stick, you know, for Snoopy to go retrieve. And Snoopy's instinct is he takes off. He's ready. I'm going to go get that. You know, he starts to dart after it, but he stops and he pauses for a frame. There's nothing in the frame. And then he's seen walking back to Linus. And finally, in this last frame, Snoopy is saying to Linus, I want people to have more to say about me after I'm gone than he was good at chasing sticks. Paul wanted to come to Rome to share with them so that they would be strong enough to live above the basic instincts of humanity. The gospel was the answer, and he knew it. He wanted to come. It's a power. It's the truth, and it is so relevant. So if you find yourself struggling with a problem, right? If you there's a weakness, there's a sin, meditate on the gospel of God. Pray. And if you need your brothers and sisters, sure, let's sit down, talk with this, find your brother and sister that you can sit down and talk with, and then we can use this time. We'll end today. We'll have a song, and then you can come up here to the front and let us know. And we'll do it even starting today. And if you want that power, if you want that truth, if you want the change in your life, right, then you can obey the gospel. And this obedience is like a humble repentance and baptism. It's calling on Jesus Christ as Lord, dying and being raised with him, believing that you too will be raised. And so you too can use this time, and we'll sing one more song, and you will all stand together, and you can come to the front. We can help you in any way. Let us know. Let's all stand.